Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge. Hey, y'all, this is the Been There, Done That podcast. I'm your host, Angela Dunn Cartledge, and I'm here with my new good friend, Candy Surratt. I cannot wait to have this conversation, Candy. Thank you very, very much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be able to spend some time with you.
Me too. Tell us why you're here, why this show, and what you want the world to know about you.
Well, my name is Candy, and first of all, I'm a mom, and I have two kids. And I guess the reason I'm on this show is to share maybe a message of hope to someone that may need to hear that today. I've just been through a lot of things in my life, crisis and a lot of loss. And so my mission in life is try to come alongside others and speak hope into their life. And how can I help you move through where, you know, where you are? So.
I love it. I really know the power of hope in my own life. And so talk us through what your definition of hope is, what that looks like for you, and how that relates to your story.
Well, hope to me is the opposite of hopelessness, because when you're in that dark place of hopelessness, it's sometimes hard to push forward and to come, you know, to come out of that. For we can be stuck there for a very long time. And so I've always been kind of the optimistic type of person. So the opposite of that is hope. And hope is, you know, it's just finding hope in all seasons. And I believe it's possible because I've had to do it, because, you know, you have to figure out how to move forward. And sometimes it just takes someone coming alongside you. So I've been through a lot of loss in my life. So when I was a young girl, I was raised in a home full of music. My dad played trumpet, my mom piano and organ. I played piano. We had a lot of music and a lot of activities in the house. And when I was 10, he took a different job. We were in North Carolina, moved us to Atlanta. And he didn't live but a year. He had his first heart attack at 34, and he passed away at 39 with his third heart attack. And he left my mom with four little children. And so that was very difficult, because we were in a new place trying to establish, you know, there. And she remarried a couple of years later to a man who had also lost his wife, and he had three children and she had four. So now we have seven overnight, five teenagers overnight. And then not long after that, she got pregnant and there were eight. So we call them the Brady Bunch clan. So those are crazy years. Of course, at that time I was 15. But, you know, you have seven children grieving and two spouses grieving the loss of a spouse. And it was difficult. You know, we moved into a new place and it was a lot of adjusting. We all love each other. So the good news is, you know, we got through all that. And then I got married at 18 and then was married 27 years and went through a divorce. It's been 21 years ago now, 2003. And in the middle of the divorce, I lost my son in the middle of that. And so you've got two traumas you're dealing with at the same time. It was about a year and a half we dealt with. He went into depression and we just did a lot of different things to try to get him out of that. And at the end, we just lost him. And so you're juggling those two traumas. And so trying to come back from that, both of those things, you know, at any given time, is just very difficult. And so I just, you know, I remember just not even wanting to live. I'm just like, no mom should have to go through this. It's just too hard. And I just remember praying and asking God to give me a purpose. If I'm still here, then I have to have a reason, or else just take me, because this is just too hard. And so he gave me Isaiah 54, and that is just a really neat scripture. It's like my story, that I was a young wife abandoned and in my grief, but that he was my husband and, you know, that he would help me get through this. And that's just kind of been my story. So from that point on, I just prayed, and the purpose he showed me was just to love. I love working with youth. I love working with international students and then women who are walking through hard stuff. So that's what I've been doing for 21 years. I've been able to travel some and do some speaking and just love on you know, love on other people. So,
and in their different stories, right? It's not just dealing with people that have gone through the exact same thing that you have, but really meeting them where they are.
Right.
And what I hear you say is that hope got you through. The idea that your faith, your love for your faith was what was able to give you the hope and strength that you needed in those absolutely crushing times. How do you use that experience, that that hope with your clients and with other women in similar situations? How do you coach them into that hope place? Where do you start?
Well, one thing I'll share, at that time when I was just asking God to show me a purpose, I was in a service and the pastor was saying, there's someone here who you don't want to live anymore. You feel hopeless. But if you allow God to come in and fan the flame, there's something that he wants to do. And I think for me, that was a turning point. So for me in coaching, I try to come alongside, but find, you know, pray with someone and ask God to show us what is your purpose, you know, and how can I help you get there? You know, what is the call on your life and why are we still here? Because I shouldn't be here. I had a very difficult marriage and I should not be here. And so coming alongside them and then just realizing that, you know, grief is so many layers of things. Well, we could go so many different directions this afternoon because you learn that different people grieve differently. In my own family, siblings grieve different than siblings and children grieve different and each spouse grieve differently. And so you have to extend grace to people and help them, you know, embrace grace for where they are. Sometimes I think we're really hard on ourselves, but, you know, we're feeling all the normal feelings in that process of trying to move through. And early on in, there was a book that really helped me. It was called Let Me Grieve, But Not Forever by Verdell Davis. And she tells a story that I love to tell. I've shared it on mission trips and different places that I've spoken about, you know, in the old days when the monks were in the monastery, they had those long, cold, dark hallways. But what they would do is put a candle on their foot and it would just give them enough light for the next step. So as they go through the hallway, they can only take one step. So I talk a lot in my coaching about taking baby steps. Sometimes all you can do is one little step forward, but it's enough for that moment in time. And it might be just enough to get someone unstuck and be able to move forward. So I love sharing that because that's pretty much how I've lived 21 years is taking baby steps.
That idea of the light being just in front of you, that it is just enough for you to see that one step. You don't have to see all the way down the hallway to take one step. That's a really powerful way to remember that small steps are the only way to get us through. You can't get to the end of the hallway without taking one step, right? So right. I love that visual that you get because I can see it. I can feel it. I can feel myself in the hallway with the candle on my foot. You know, I love that, that gives somebody a place to, for that light to show a little bit of hope. How do we take a first step? How do we decide what direction to go in? My mantra has always been just to try. I'm a giant Star Wars fan. So, I love Yoda and he says, do or do not, there is no try. And I feel like, that is such a great, non-biblical way to look at that particular thing. We're just asking for one action and then you can change direction. What are your thoughts on that? And how do you coach people in those moments when they don't even know what direction to take that one step in?
Well, and I think if we could see the bigger picture, right, the whole hallway, we'd be going, no, thank you. Sometimes, you know what I mean? So if we live our life taking baby steps, then I think a part of it for me, the hope is in my faith in God is, you know, there's a scripture, I think it's Isaiah 46:10 that says, I will take you an unfamiliar path And I will go before you, and I will make the rough places smooth, and I'll bring light into the darkness. And so for me, that hope is that light coming in the darkness and lighting my heart up and giving me a passion, you know. So I, with when I'm coaching, the first thing we're going to do is, you know, where are you in your pain? Because it depends, you know, it might be something very recent. It could be something 10 years ago. And, you know, you need to, I have to find out where are they? And sometimes a question is, you know, do you want to get well? Because it's going to cost sometimes, you know, it might cost time. It might cost some work. It might cost some money to try to get in a different place moving forward. And so, you know, so if you want to get well, you know, it takes, that's a baby step, right? Yes. Can you help me? That's a baby step.
It's so important though. It's like the idea that we have to be intentional. We have to be aware before we can be intentional. We have to be aware of our surroundings in your example, or aware of where we are on the path, not necessarily where we want to go, but where we are right this minute. You know, where are we standing? Are we standing in quicksand? Are we standing on solid ground? Are we holding on for dear life to a vine and hanging off of the edge? Where are we on that path, and then be able to make decisions from there? I really, and then that, like I said, then you can be aware of what feelings are coming up or what kind of things are happening in the process. But until you can see what's happening around you, you can't really do that.
And a part of some that I teach too is the spiritual season. So we have a winter. And a lot of times winter, and this came from a book called Spiritual Rhythms, Martin Buchanan, I think. I'm a book person, so I draw a lot from a lot of resources. But he talks about, you know, we think of winter sometimes as a negative thing, but winter can be a wonderful time of pulling in and deeper growth. And so what season are you in? Are you in a winter where you've pulled back, you're isolating, but maybe there's a deeper work being done? Are you in spring where you're planning what's ahead and you're planting, you know, summer, it's kind of longer days, lighter season, you know, maybe a time of just resting, and then fall is your harvest. And so sometimes I can relate that when they're sharing where they are in their pain, you know, so what season are you in? And how can we move to the next season as well? So that's something that's really, I'm just such a visual learner. And those examples help me a lot too.
Not you describe it visually, but you're describing it with things that we know, mm-hmm. in practical ways that we already understand.
Well, and sometimes you might be in two seasons, you know, there could be a little of each, you know, but I think sometimes it just kind of helps you establish where you are, you know, by talking about it. So where are you in your pain? Let's pray about it. And let's see what resources and what answers and what can we pull together to kind of take that next baby step. And then what are you passionate about? What keeps you up all night? What is something you love to do that you enjoy? Because you have to find those things. Even in grief, you have to find something, you know, that can help you with that baby step. Sometimes it may be something creative that they do, you know, that someone does, you know, painting or music, or there can be so many things. And then, you know, let's find the purpose. And then how do we walk in peace? So it's five P's kind of as my standard, my model for coaching, and just walking through that process. And we may sit at number three for a very long time, you know, figuring out why am I here? You know, or it may be something that once they start taking baby steps, those things come easy. But then how can we walk every day in peace and walk in the healing? Because I think grief is something I don't know if it ever goes away. I feel like personally that you just learn how to move through it. And you know what I mean? It's, I don't know how, where you are with that, but that's how I feel. And I think there's just so many layers to grief. I remember in the early days, we went to the beach, and I remember it was after a hurricane and the waves were really strong, and I was out there and those waves would just come up over. And one time it just knocked me down, my face in the sand underwater. And it was a good visual for me to realize that grief is like that. It comes in waves sometimes. And 20 years later, things still trigger. you know, those times. But I realized that every time I stood back up, I was a little bit stronger. You know, I thought, oh, I stayed up a little longer this time. And so you start feeling that progress. But you know, it's different for every person. Every person is different how we grieve and how we live it out. And
yeah, it's
then you have more losses and
yes. And because it that makes me think of your example of the waves, that every time we get back up, we're a little bit stronger. Well, but that first wave was the first grief. And then each wave after that is you're stronger. You're a different person. So you're not going to handle the grief the same way. Plus, the person that you're losing is different than the person that you lost the first time, or the situation that you lost, you know, whatever
right.
that might look like. I know we have guilt. We have some shame, we have some relief, and then we feel guilt about that. And we have, you know, we have all these other things that
regret,
things that bolt on to the grief. And if you don't try to have your right glasses on so that you can see all the different emotions that are popping up, you might think it's all grief, and it's not all grief. And so that to me has been one of the harder lessons. And I'd love your perspective on that too, that when we lose somebody that we feel like we could have helped, what is your way of looking at that, especially in your faithful way to help us?
Well, and like you said, there's a lot of losses, job losses, there's divorce, there's future dreams. I mean, I lost maybe a daughter-in-law and grandchildren and all the things, you know? So I think that, I just think, like you said, there's just so many different aspects of that. But for me, you know, realizing, you know, so was I a failure as a mom, you know, the guilt of that, or the regret of maybe there was one other type of, because my son completed suicide through the divorce. And then it took another 3 years after that to get the divorce final. So, you know, for me, I think it's just, I just had to be proactive. That was my lifeline, was feeling like if I could hug another mom's son or daughter and tell them, there's a reason that you're here and God has a plan for your life. I mean, I was, especially in the early days, so passionate, you know, I couldn't do enough. We worked in the homeless ministry, just on the streets. It was a lifeline for me to be proactive. And I know not everybody's like that, but it was either lay down and die or do that. So for me, it's a perspective shift. If I'm sitting in that place and I'm feeling regret or feeling a failure, or even I worked with youth group with a large church for 6 years. And I would go in every Wednesday night, just white knuckled and just something whispering here, someone whispering in my ear saying, you couldn't even save your son. Why are you even here? I mean, it's such a lie. And so that perspective shift is, wait a minute, there's so-and-so here, I can take them out for coffee. And then there's this one over here, I can pick them up from school. And just coming alongside parents, or some that don't even have parents or anyone to spend time with them, it made a difference in my heart. I felt like, you know, his story would go on. And there are some of the kids that, you know, I walked through some suicidal issues with some of the high school kids and the girls, and they're now out, you know, in their late 20s, they're married and having babies. And, you know, it was so worth it. But the thing is, I'm trying to say is, it's a perspective shift. I have to take my eyes off of me and start looking outward. And I have to be future focused. That's something I teach in coaching. I have to look ahead. You can't always look in that rearview mirror with regret or guilt, shame, all the things. You know, if I could have done this, or maybe I should have done this. I mean, you know, that's a trauma that happens suddenly. It's totally unexpected. And so you're just kind of robotic for a while. I think if, you know, maybe a car accident loss or different types of losses, you know, but For me, I just had to be proactive, and that was a lifeline. And I had to love on other kids. And, you know, I'm very passionate about high school and college age girls, honestly, because, you know, sometimes they just need someone to come alongside them and say, I see you, I hear you, and your life matters. And let's figure out how to get through this hard time, because it does pass. You know, it does pass. Other hard times come, but we'll get through this one together.
And it's so hard as a teenager. I remember it acutely that you don't have that perspective because you don't know any other life than the life that you're in right that moment. And you don't know, you don't feel that temporariness, you know, that flexibility that is in the world because you haven't had that life experience yet. Your brain's not all the way developed, you know, stuff like that. But that is so beautiful, myself looking out to see that you took a very hard thing and decided, I'm not going to go around it. I'm not going to go completely away from it and help somebody. I'm going to dig right here. I'm going to dig in right here because somebody else. My child is not the only child that was having those thoughts, that was having those feelings, that was in the throes of that depression. He's not the only child. So I'm going to help other children in that same scenario that are really struggling. And that is so powerful to hear because, again, I feel that that is very courageous of you to be able to do that. I don't think that just losing a job is the only grief that there is. I don't think that going through a divorce or a loss of an important relationship is the only grief. Just like I don't think that the only loss that you can feel is when you lose a person. But I believe that they're all incredibly powerful losses. And so we have to give space to them and allow them to have their path. I'm thankful for our shared experience because I'm thankful that we get to have this conversation. And then on top of it, I know you have already helped so many people and you will continue to do so. And, I hate the thought that you had to lose to be able to help other people, but I'm just thankful that you're here and that your passion is what it is.
Thank you. You know, I worked with international students too for a while through that time because they come into the States. I work at the university and at our church, they had a friendship family program. And so I thought, well, they have nobody. And so a student, while he was doing PhD and his master's and stuff, rented from me, lived with me, and he happened to be from a Christian family from India. So I got to go over there at one point for a couple of weeks with him and another friend of ours and visit his family. They came and stayed with me for 4 months. But, you know, I realized they're walking in the streets, you know, the thing that God showed me in that, it was such a healing trip because this was just 2 or 3 years after all of this had happened. And I felt like I had lost everything. I lost my farm. I walked away from everything. I lost dreams of there. I had a dog kennel for 7 years. You know, I did love animals. I still love animals, but you know, what God showed me over there was I felt like I had lost everything. And yet I still had so much. Yes, I had been through some hard stuff, but I have a family that loves me. I have wonderful friends, quality friends who have supported me. Some we've been friends for 40 years now. You know, I had a church home and I had a good job and I have a car and I have a home and people over there are just living. Some of the moms are there, you know, with their kids under tarps. I mean, it was a huge healing trip, that was a big step, not a baby step, you know, that he showed me. And I think you just want to hug other moms and families and you don't want anyone else to have to go through this. If I can do one thing and make a difference in one person, then, you know, then maybe they can get some healing as well. And so it's been, you know, it's been a process of years of doing a lot of different types of things. But I think it is that perspective shift, I think, for me, you know, if I'm having a hard day, putting on some worship music or going out and taking a walk or thinking, who can I call today who might, you know, be struggling with something? And it is a shift in our thoughts. And so through doing those podcasts, it even helped me, you know, to think, oh, I can shift this perspective and I can turn this a different way. And but sometimes you have to be proactive in it.
Yes. The fact that you keep saying proactive, that's the verb you're using, that it's not just about knowing that you have the ability to think externally, but that you're doing it before you get to the point that you're snowed under and you've got to be under a blanket for 3 days, that you're doing it as a way to keep living.
Are you familiar with the kintsugi, the pottery? Have you heard the story of the kintsugi? A friend of mine gave me a gift several years ago. He was walking through some grief and gave me a gift. We were kind of walking through this together and brought me this beautiful bowl. It's sitting back here on the piano, but it's a beautiful blue bowl with gold stripes in it, gold places. So it represents, like, it came out of, I guess, Japanese pottery years ago when there was an earthquake, and all they just wanted to get their pottery and put it back together. So they used the gold dust, and the gold dust symbolizes, as you put it back together, that strengthens you. So the places that you've been broken, you're stronger afterwards. And it's that transformation, you know, of being put back together, because we're all in one way or another broken. But when we are put back together, our value is worth more because we're stronger in the areas we've been broken in. And that I just love that. I love this gift. It's a beautiful bowl. But I love the story about the kintsugi. It's Kintsugi, I think, the kintsugi pottery. And so it's just, when I look at it, I felt so broken in those early days. And then 2019, I lost my mom suddenly. And then COVID hit, March 2020, she passed in August. I lost a job that summer. So I had a big job change. And then 2 years ago, my bonus dad. So, you know, there's even been more since then. But I walk by this piano and I see this bowl sitting there. And I think, you know, God's doing a deeper work, you know. And it might be a different area or different type of loss or something else you're dealing with. But, you know, he's doing a work, you know, it's the potter doing his work to make us more beautiful and to strengthen us. And I don't know how people walk through hard things like this apart from him. I don't think I would be here, you know, had I not had my faith. So, and it's all about the hope. And I don't know, unless you're proactive, can you have hope if your thoughts aren't going forward, thinking, where is my hope, you know, on days of despair?
I'm in the same position in that I don't know what I would have done without faith and hope. I don't know that I could have gotten through losing my son and not being able to comprehend that process, why that happened and my role in it or my lack of role in it or whatever that looks like, to be able to say that it was, I had hope for the future and that I had faith that it was all for my good. And again, we would not be here today having this conversation had it not been for that understanding. So talk us through how we can work with you, how we can find you, and how we can be a client of yours and how we can be coached by you.
Okay. Well, and I'm just in the process of launching right now. I've been working on certification things the last 4 or 5 years, but I'm Candy Renee on Facebook, and you can reach out that way, private message, send a friend request. And I have an email, and it's candyrenee.ignitehope@gmail.com. So I feel like I've been coaching my whole life, one thing or another.
That's the thing, is that we always say we're either, you know, teachers or students. And yeah. I agree with you. I believe you are a teacher, my friend.
I think I'm both. I love learning, and I'm realizing even recently how much I love to teach things that have helped me. I like to be able to, you know, to help others get through the hard stuff. So
you are. And I'm very thankful for your time and for your honesty. Thank you for sharing your story. And I can't wait for you to help our audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Angela, for having me. It's been a joy.